I'm gonna preach this morning. It's a sermon of two halves. So I'm gonna do the first bit now, then we're gonna sing a hymn, and I'll pray for us, and we'll do the second half of the sermon. But here we're going to be just thinking together, like I said at the start of the service, on some of the things that, as a church, we have sort of set ourselves as priorities. What are the things that shape our life together? What are the priorities that shape our future as we are going forward in partnership with St. Andrews and Bixley Farm? And, those aren't ideas that we have just kind of plucked out of the air. Those are ideas and priorities that have been distilled, I think, from the scriptures, from the Word of God, as we've looked and are seeing what life is like in the church. What's characterizing the church? What are the priorities that we see in the life of the church in the Bible, as we see that modeled for us, working out, okay, what is there in that God is calling us to take a hold of? What is there in that God is saying, this is what I want to characterize the life of MIE? This is what I want to see happening in the life of St. John's. And one of those things is, like I said, starting new churches. At the start of last month, Bixley Farm celebrated its first anniversary. It was an absolutely brilliant afternoon. The doors of a new church had been open for exactly a year. It was a part of town. Bixley Farm is a part of town out the east end of St. Andrew's Parish. There was no church meeting there. We checked that. We weren't going to plant a church when there was already a church there, but there wasn't. And we talked to some other churches in this part of town, and none of them were thinking of starting a new church at Bixley Farm. And so we decided we would. And we took about 25 people who were members of the church congregation here at St. John's, and we said in the nicest possible way that we didn't want them to be part of our church anymore. And we sent them with our blessing to go and establish a brand new church, a new congregation, meeting in Tower Hall on Bixley Farm, a part of that community, worshipping Jesus in that community, and proclaiming Jesus to that community. And you think, why on earth would we do that? Why would we go through all the effort of starting a new church? And the answer is very simple. It's because actually that's what healthy churches do. That's what spirit-filled churches do. Read through the New Testament. Read through the book of Acts. And you will see that the spirit-filled church, the church in which God is living, the church in which God is present, the church in which God is active, is a church that is replicating. It is a church that's, it's like, you know, a church that's got life, is a church that like cells, as in a growing organism, cells that split and divide and multiply and replicate. And that's what churches do. Or somebody after the 8 o'clock service was telling me about this. It's apparently strawberry plants do this as well. Okay, before I do this, anybody grow stuff here? Okay, alright, there's enough of you to make this image, this analogy worthwhile. So I'm just going totally on what I was told after the 8 o'clock service. So if this isn't right, I'm gonna blame the 8 o'clock congregation, alright? But apparently strawberry plants, like every year a strawberry plant sort of sends out like two or three runners. Oh, I've got people nodding. Oh, I'm so relieved. I know nothing about this.
Okay.
And they're still attached for a while to the plant that they grow out from. But the idea is you kind of cut those links after a while, and then those plants then are established in their own right, and they then start to send out runners a couple of years after that. And that's a great image for healthy church life. That periodically churches that are growing are kind of sending out runners. They're sending out new groups of people who are going to start new churches. And for a while, there will be a relationship, there will be dependence on the church that's sent out, but eventually what you want to do is cut the branches, as it were, back to the mother church, and just let that church go and be a church established in its own right, as it were. And, you know, it's easy, I think, for us to sit and go, well, sounds all well and good, but, you know, we're the Church of England. We don't do that sort of thing. Well, think about it like this. It wasn't that long ago, really, that St. John's was planted from St. Margaret's. And some of you might even remember when St. Andrew's on Britannia Road was planted from St. John's. Yeah? So actually, this is something that you do. You just haven't done it for a while. And they've forgotten. But this is what churches do. It's what they've always done. In the 8 o'clock service, there was somebody there whose stepdad worked on the building at St. Andrew's in Britannia Road. And, I was with some of the other clergy, and the bishop wants to see in Ipswich eight new churches planted over the next 5 to 6 years. So this is something that the Church of England does. It is something that churches do, living churches do. And, you know, you see that when you read the Bible. And in a sense, it's so natural in the Bible, and it's so obvious, and it's so upfront that you can kind of miss it. But you know the Great Commission, you know, when Jesus, at the end of it all, Jesus is about to return to his Father's right hand in glory, and he gives the church its mission. And he says, right guys, here's the deal. You are going to go into all the world, and you're going to make disciples of all nations. And you're going to baptize them. Now you see, that's a really interesting thing. Because what is baptism about? Well, amongst other things, baptism is about being welcomed into the life of a church. So Jesus is saying, you're going to go and you're going to make disciples and you're going to baptize them. So what he's saying is there will be churches there from which you will be preaching the gospel and into which people who are becoming Christians will be welcomed. They'll be baptized. And you see it as you all the way through the book of Acts. You see churches that are sending out people, and they're being tasked with starting new churches. All right, when Diane was reading that passage from Acts 14, it just sounded like a long list of like random towns, right? It's like, why do we care where Paul is going and Barnabas? Why do we want to know their travel itinerary? Well, because those are towns in which Paul and Barnabas are planting churches. Right? We were told that in the reading, because Paul he's appointing elders, church leaders for the congregations that there now are in all those towns. He's setting up and building the structure of local church life. And then those churches then take missional, evangelistic responsibility for the towns and regions that they are a part of. And that's how the Great Commission is fulfilled. The idea is that in every community, There is a church. There is a gathering, a congregation of believers who worship Jesus and who proclaim Jesus to that community. That church takes responsibility for outreach. And it's great to see Bixley Farm a year ago. We just started the congregation, the worshiping life. But already Bixley Farm is building its own structures of mission and outreach into the community that lives at Bixley Farm. Already there are things happening that are about meeting people and serving people and sharing with people the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the kind of the big picture, if you like. That's the general idea. And we're going to come back and think about what this means for us at St. John's in a few moments. Because it'd be very easy for us to think, right, well, okay, we've done Bixley Farm, so we can tick that box and move on to the next thing. I'm going to say to you, no. We've done Bixley Farm by God's grace. We've seen a whole new church started up. And now we're going to come back and we're going to do it again somewhere else. Possibly within our parishes, but talking to the bishop, possibly somewhere else in the town. Because, you know, Ipswich is growing fast, isn't it? It's like, you know, 140,000 people live in Ipswich now. And if you start adding on places like Kesgrave and stuff like that, it's 180,000 people. Now, the Church of England has this great idea called parishes. Right? Brilliant, brilliant idea. So what they did was, like centuries ago, they divided the whole country into little parcels of, little areas called parishes. And they planted a church in every parish. Because that's exactly what you see in the Bible. And that church in that parish was responsible for worshiping Jesus and sharing and proclaiming Jesus with that community. So every community had its church. The thing is, when that was done, every parish had like maybe 1,000 people in it. Maybe 1,500 for the really big parishes. Our parish today has 22,000 people living in it. All right, so we've got some way to go before we get the kind of coverage that the Church of England first had in mind when it built its parish system. So we're going to come back, we're going to have a little bit of a think, but just like really practically, what does this mean for a church to be involved in starting new congregations as just a part of its rhythm of life? All right, before we do that, we're going to sing. We're going to sing again a setting of a psalm from the Bible, Psalm 100. And it's a call to worship. It's an evangelistic psalm calling people to come and to be in relationship with God. And to worship God. It's the old hymn, all people that on earth do dwell. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you live. You're invited to come and to know God and to worship Him. Let me just pray for us. Father, we have in mind, I have in mind at the moment, Jesus' promise that He would build His church. The gates of hell would not stand against it. We've already been thinking together about what the Bible teaches about churches planting churches, churches multiplying, churches sending out people whose task is to start new churches, seeing how that is a part of how Jesus's commission to us is fulfilled. That all over the world, new churches starting and new communities, and through those churches, people hearing about Jesus, who He is and what He's done for us in terms of bringing us back into relationship with God and dealing with the reality of our sin. And as people responding, they're being baptized, joining those churches, and those churches are growing, and then they plant new churches. And Father, it all sounds very exciting, a bit intimidating maybe, but pretty exciting. But as we look at what that actually means for a church, what that will actually mean for us, Father, I pray that Your Spirit would speak, and I pray that You would excite us and inspire us with the vision of Your call on our life together as a church in this place at this time. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so the best way to reach a community with the gospel of Jesus is for there to be a church in that community. A church that takes responsibility for worshiping Jesus and for sharing the gospel, demonstrating and declaring God's love for that community in the way in which they relate to that community and in the life that they model to a watching world. Now what that means is that at St. John's, and this is going to sound a bit strange when I first say it, but at St. John's, we're not looking to build a massive, big congregation here. Yeah? That's quite an important thing, I think, to say. Because that would be, in a sense, we could do that. We could do that. We could just build St. John's and build St. John's and build St. John's and, you know, hundreds of people and, you know, there'd be like two morning services and we could do that. But what that means is that actually people are having to travel from further and further away in order to come to this big church that's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And if you want to be a part of that worshiping church, you want to be, you know, hear about Jesus, you got to travel. And increasingly, people will have to travel from further and further away. And actually, that's not really what it's about, is it? Wouldn't it be much better for people to have church where they live, where they do life, so that they're not having to travel halfway across town? They're just able to go somewhere in their community and meet with other people from their community and together to work out what it means to be church, to be Christians together in that community, and to share the gospel in that community. That seems to be the way church is set up. And so what we're wanting to do is, rather than just building here and going, hey, look at us, we're amazing, we've got hundreds of people. Actually, what we want to do is be periodically sending people out. Periodically saying, just as part of our cycle of life throughout Mission Ipswich East. So thinking about St. John's, I'm here this morning and I'm preaching to you. But, you know, St. Andrew's as well. And Bixley Farm. As Bixley Farm grows and becomes established, we'll be expecting to see people from Bixley Farm being sent to other parts of Ipswich, to other parts of our parish, to other parts of our town, in order to start new churches. That's what we're doing. We're not wanting just to kind of suck everything into us. We're wanting to be sending out, giving away, sending people to different parts of Ipswich so that in those communities people are able to hear and respond to Jesus. They don't have to keep coming here all the time. Now, that is quite a different psychology, I think. It's a different way of thinking about being part of a church. See, I think it's very easy to think, okay, look, when it comes to ministry, that's the vicar's job, right? So the vicar does ministry, And we all come and receive the vicar's ministry. I was going to say enjoy the vicar's ministry, but that might be pushing it just a little bit too much. But we'll at least receive gladly and joyfully and with great enthusiasm the vicar's ministry. And then we'll all go home. The problem with that, the danger with that, is that there's a constant temptation to turn church then into like a spectator sport. Right? Well, you come and you watch me do my thing. Right? And actually, I think a much more helpful way, a much healthier way, a much more biblical way is to see everything exactly the other way around. You see, you don't come here to support my ministry. I come here to support your ministry. See, St. John's is your church. That's not me washing my hands of it, by the way. It's like, I'm having nothing to do with it, you're on your own. But really, St. John's is your church. How many of you have seen 3, 4, 5 vicars come and go? Rod's like, yeah, 7? Anyone seen 7? Yeah, what? No? Okay, 6 is the limit. Alright, so you see, man, like, we come and go. You know, you invite us to come and to be a part of your life for a few years, a couple of decades, because you're not getting rid of me for a while, I tell you that. Alright, I'm stubborn like that. I'm camping here for a bit. But you invite us to come and to be able to serve you and to help you and to work with you to develop your ministry and the life of this church in a particular way. And then, you know, we then go and help another church, and you then are looking around thinking, okay, who are we going to get to help us through the next chapter of our life together? See, St. John's is your church, right? It's not mine. It would be, you know, okay, yeah, fair enough. It's Jesus's church. I get that. But under Jesus, this is your church, and you are the people who God has called together to share together in the life of this church. And for some of you, that is a call on your life that has lasted decades. Now, as Christians, you are called to be ministers. You are called to be those who represent God, to be those who teach about God, to be those who show the world what God is like. Now, for all of you, that has consequences in every aspect of your life. You know, your ministry is not just what you do in church, as it were. Your ministry is how you live out your calling to be children, to be parents, to be friends, to be people who work for people, or who have people working for them. People who are involved in so many different aspects of the life of our town and community. All of that is your ministry. And my job is to help you in that, and to support you in that, and to encourage you as you go about living your ministry, doing your ministry. But for all of you, having been called to be a part of this church, some of your ministry is worked out in what it means to be a part of this church in this time. And part of my job is to ask you then, what does your ministry in St. John's look like? Because this is the church you have been called to be a part of. It's not the only part of your life, but it is part of your life. It's not the only call God has put on your life, but it is part of the call God has put on your life. That as a Christian, called to be a part of this church at this time, to serve the cause of the gospel in this place, To be part of the people who take responsibility for sharing Jesus in this community, what does that look like for you? Now, I have to walk a fine line here today. A really fine line. Because straight away, I want to recognize and I want to celebrate and I want to thank those of you who get this, who understand this, and who bring your money, your gifts, your abilities, your time, and your energy to serve the life and to build up the life of the church in so many ways. In fact, I think probably part of my job this morning is to point out that some of you are overcommitted to church life, to the point where some of the other calls that God puts on your life are suffering. And for some of you, as your pastor, actually I need to tell you to step back, because your sense of God's call on your life is a bit out of balance. You know, and you're too much time and energy is being poured into the church, and you need to go away and think that through. Some of you, I need to invite you to kind of rethink your involvement in the life of the church. Because some of you have been here, you know, and I mean this nicely, but you've been here a long time. And it's really easy, isn't it, just to kind of fall into a habit. You know, this is what I do. This is where I go. These are the activities in the life of the church that I'm a part of. And you just settle into that, and that's what you do month after month, year after year, decade after decade. And for some of you, actually, you need to renegotiate that. You need to step back and think, okay, Lord, is this actually what you're still calling me to do? Is this the best way that I can build up the church? Is this the best way that I can serve the cause of the gospel still after all these years? Or do I need to step back from this thing that I've been doing and hand that over to somebody else so that I'm freed up to reinvest somewhere else? So some of you I need to say, guys, you're overcommitted and you need to step back. Some of you I need to say, alright, you need to rethink the ways in which you are committed, the way in which your ministry works out in the life of the church. But some of you, I just need to say, you need to roll your sleeves up and you need to get stuck in. Because this is the church that God has called you to be a part of. And he's called you to be a part of it because there are gifts and abilities and capabilities that you have that God wants to see worked out in building up the life of this church and in serving the cause of the gospel in this place. And you're thinking, okay, but how do I do that? Where do I go? Well, you can come and have a chat with me if you want about that one-to-one, but let me start with this. You know, where should you be getting involved in the life of the church? Well, what concerns you? What bothers you? Start with that question. Like, does it bother you that survey after survey is telling us that teenagers leave the church in droves year after year? Does it bother you that there are churches all over town where there are no teenagers? Is that a concern for you? Then get involved. Right, don't sit there waiting for someone to come and ask you. If that's a burden God has put on your heart, act on it. Talk to Eleanor. Get involved. Or are you frustrated that when people come to St. John's, they don't seem to get welcomed the way you think they should? Does it bother you that people aren't made to feel at home when they come to the church? Does it bother you that there are people sitting in church who have, they don't get what's going on in a service? This is like an alien world. It's like, what on earth is this all about? Does it bother you? Then get involved in our first impressions team. Get involved in our welcoming team. Be available to people so that you can help them. Don't wait for somebody to come and ask you. Get involved. You know, be the happy smiley face that serves coffee after the service and ask somebody about how they're doing and what's going on. Does it bother you that in this town there are people living and dying without Jesus? Is that something that weighs on your heart? Then get involved. Go to Enable. Do that course. Get involved in a local mission team. Get involved in running an Alpha course, leading a table at Alpha. Help out at Lunch Club. Right? Or do you know what? Maybe it's not even help out at Lunch Club. Maybe it's just go to Lunch Club. And you think, well, I don't need to go to Lunch Club. I'm not that kind of person that needs Lunch Club. Yeah, okay, but you know what? Stop thinking about yourself. There are a lot of people at Lunch Club every Monday who do not know Jesus. And wouldn't it be amazing if there was a Christian sitting at their table having lunch with them who could talk to them about what it means to be a Christian? Because if you're helping out, you're worried about getting the next course on the table before it goes cold. You don't have time always to have that conversation. We need people just sitting at the table talking. So go to Lunch Club, not because you need it, but because somebody else does. Don't wait for somebody to ask you. If God has put that burden on your heart, get involved. Does it bother you that children today are growing up never having set foot in a church and never having heard the Bible taught to them? Our Open the Book teams go into schools, and for some of those kids, it is the first and only time they hear anything that Jesus taught. Does that bother you? Do you feel a burden for that? Then get involved. Don't wait for somebody to come and ask you. Right, on a good Sunday, there are 250 people at St. John's. I am not going to come and ask you personally to get involved in an aspect of our life together as a church. That's a mad way of thinking that's how it works. If God has burdened you for this, get involved. Get involved in the Open Book teams. Get involved in teaching children Bible stories. Get involved in our Sunday groups. Get involved in running cruisers on a Thursday evening. Get involved in our family events. Can you play an instrument? Can you sing? Can you help provide the music that is such an important part of our worship together? Have you got any technical ability at all? Could you do projection? Could you do the sign desk? Or could you learn to do the sign desk? Right? Could you do that? Does what happens on a Sunday morning matter to you? Do you think, I would love to be involved in helping the services run smoothly? Then get involved. Don't wait for someone to come and ask you. Get involved. Or maybe it's by taking responsibility for an area of ministry. You know, maybe you're the kind of person who's been like, well, you know, I'll help out once a month. Or I'll help out once a half term. Well, maybe you've been doing that for a while, and you know what? You could step up and take responsibility for that area of ministry. You could be the person who's not just turning up once a month to help out. You could be the person who's standing up and saying, I will make sure this area of mission or this area of ministry happens. You know, just Try it for a term. See, maybe it's not as scary and as daunting as you were afraid it might be. Maybe you'll find you really enjoy it. Maybe you'll find that God will use you and encourage you and help you to grow as you serve other people. You know, seriously, we're talking about the music group. All right, no, hang on. What does all this have to do with church planting? That's the question. It's like, I thought we were doing church planting. Why are we talking about this? All right, think about this. As a church, a year ago, we took 25 people and we said goodbye to them. Right? And it was hard. Partly because of who they are. They're lovely people. But partly because of what they did in the life of the church. Every one of those people was somebody who had rolled up their sleeves and was stuck in to making stuff happen. And we took those 25 people out of the equation. And that left gaps. That left huge gaps. I mean, I was talking about music a few minutes ago. We sent pretty much an entire music group to Bixley Farm. That put a lot of extra pressure on the musicians who, having thought about it and prayed about it, felt, no, God is actually calling me to stay here and to continue serving at St. John's. Still the same number of services, still the same amount of music needing to be provided, less people now doing it. And that's true for Sunday groups, it's true for refreshments, it's true for Alpha courses, it's true for a lot of stuff, because 25 people made a lot of things happen. So, if we're going to be a church that plants, if we're going to be a church that sends out 25 people every 3 or 4 years to start a new congregation, that means that every 3 or 4 years, those gaps are opening up at St. John's. And we're planting new churches, but we have to continue to sustain and to develop the mission and the ministry of this church. And you know what? It is a big ask. I get that. But this is the church God has called you to be a part of. And this is a church that takes the Bible's call to plant churches with dead seriousness. He's called you here. He's called you to be a part of this church at this time. He's called you to be part of a planting church at this time because He has a role for you in this church. A church that is planting, a church that is sending people out periodically. There are things in the life of this church that God has called you to do. Because part of your ministry will work itself out in the life of this congregation. Every time we send out 25 people to plant a new church, that's 25 people's worth of jobs that we need to rebuild for. And in a few years, we'll send out another 25 people. And that's hard because that means we will see a constant through flow of people. Every 3 or 4 years, we'll be saying goodbye to a whole bunch of people who we love and who we have served with and who we have worked with and prayed with and cried with and rejoiced with. But all the time as we're sending people out, God is bringing new people into the life of our church. We're running an Alpha course this morning. We're running another one on Tuesday. At the moment, on those two Alpha courses, there are over 25 people who are not Christians who are exploring Christianity. God is bringing new people all the time into the life of our church. And some of them will stay. Some of them will be called to be a part of St. John's. And others of those new people will be part of teams that we're sending out in the years ahead to plant new churches throughout this community and now in partnership with the diocese throughout this town. Do you know what? That is hard. In fact, as I was writing this, I was trying to think of a word for it. And the only word I can think of is the word sacrifice. It is sacrificial to be part of a planting church. It's sacrificial to be part of a planting team. The people who leave and who head out. You know, seriously, Bixley Farm. My days, there are people turning up before 3 o'clock, and we don't get out until gone six some weeks. It is hard work. Every week. There's no depth. Everybody is doing stuff pretty much every week. And you can look at that and go, man, that's hard. That's hard to be part of a team that's going out to set up a new church. I'll tell you what though, it's hard to be part of the church that is sending that team out as well. It is costly to be involved in a church that plants churches. To be involved in a church like St. John's that every few years is committing itself by God's grace to be involved in starting a new congregation. And there's a hard reality that people over the last year, yeah, people at Bixley Farm have worked hard. But I'll tell you what, there are people at St. John's who have been working hard for this last year as well because they've been trying to cover the slack left behind by the team that we sent out. A year on from Bixley Farm, we're still stretched and we're still struggling. But if we are going to be a church that is going to be planting churches, then we need to recognize that there will be periods of that costly, sacrificial service. And we need to be nimble. We need to keep asking ourselves, right, where can I serve? All right, 3 or 4 years ago, I stepped into this area of ministry. But you know, now that these people have gone, I can see there's a gap over here, and I'm going to go and help out here. We need to stay flexible and sensitive to what the Spirit's calling us to do, cycle after cycle after cycle. And that is hard. But that is what it means to be part of a church planting church. Now, why would we do that? Why would we put ourselves through that? Because let's be honest, it'd be so much easier if we didn't bother. So much easier. So why are we going to be doing this? Why have we already done it? And why are we going to be doing it again? Well, firstly, how about this? Because it's what the Word of God calls us to do. It's the model of church that we see laid out for us in the Bible. Because it is part of how the Bible teaches us to do mission. To put churches into communities that will take missional responsibility for those communities as we take missional responsibility for ours. How about because people's eternal destiny hangs in the balance? There are people all over this town who are not hearing about Jesus. And that is a problem. Because when people live and die without Jesus, that affects eternal destiny. How about because building up the life of the church is what we are called to do as Christians? How about because there is something in us that yearns to lay down our lives for something that is bigger than us, something that is bigger than our life and our concerns and our interests? How about because our vision of Jesus is a vision of someone for whom it is worth rolling our sleeves up and getting stuck in to hard, costly, sacrificial patterns of life and service? How about because Jesus taught us to pray, "Your kingdom come," and it might just be that God will answer that prayer through us as we plant churches and other people become Christians and God's kingdom grows? How about it's because we are tired of being part of a church that across this town and across this nation is in retreat and in decline? I am sick and tired of reading press articles and surveys that tell me that the church in this country is dying. Jesus said he will build his church and the gates of hell will not stand against it. That's what I want to be a part of. not a church that is in retreat. How about because we will not lie down and give way to the forces of darkness that threaten to engulf our time? Like seriously, the stories that are coming out of Ipswich at the minute would make your blood run cold. Let's be salt and light and drive back the darkness. How about because when we stand before Jesus on that day, we are going to want to say more than anything that we spent our life making a difference for the things that were important to Him. How about because we can't grow as Christians unless we're involved in helping other people and other churches grow? Any one of those is a good reason to be doing this. Don't wait until you're asked. Get involved. As Christians, we're called to be disciples that make disciples. As a church, we are called to be a church that makes churches. St. John's, St. Andrew's, and Bixley Farm. Let's rebuild so that we can do it again. And again. And again.